Welcome to this week's episode of Off the Assembly Line. I'm your host, Rebecca Reed, and every week I sit down for possibility-sparking conversation with innovative educators and entrepreneurs who are bringing the future to education, one beautiful disruption at a time. Before we get started with this week's episode, I wanted to share a couple quick announcements with you. Next week will be the last Off the Assembly Line episode of 2019, and I'll be taking a couple of weeks off to rest, reflect, and really gear up for 2020. I'll be back with the next episode on January 7th. I also want to invite you as you start thinking about what you want 2020 to be for you, as you start thinking about the impact that you want to make or grow in education, I want to invite you to consider leveling up with our community of innovative educators and changemakers in the Teacher Mastermind. We're launching new cohorts in February and accepting applications now and through January. Head to teachermastermind.com for more info and feel free to shoot me an email if you have questions. Episode 11. As educators, we pour our best energies into our craft, continuing our learning as often and as deeply as we can. We go to conferences and workshops and follow game changers on social platforms. We dig into research when we have the time and listen to experts and innovators share on podcasts and TED Talks and beyond. We're doing all of this to answer core questions like, what do my students need right now that will enable them to thrive when they're out in the world? As an educator, we play the ultimate long game and often don't get to see the long-term results of our work or know which of the thousands of learning experiences may have changed the trajectory of a student's life. For students who leave their K-12 experience and immediately go on to thrive in the real world, what went right? What do they identify as the greatest impact? On this episode, we're going to answer some of those questions. Today, I'm talking with 19-year-old entrepreneur, author, and podcast host, Andre Haeckel Jr., about the teacher and learning experiences that fast-tracked his entrepreneurial journey and success. Andre shares the story of the school project that launched his entrepreneurial path, the urgency of building creativity and failure into the academic learning process, and how educators can help students build their muscle of self-education. Let's jump in. Andre, thanks so much for being on the show. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Rebecca. I'm excited to share my story and hopefully help your audience in any way that I can do so.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So you are an author, a podcast host, an entrepreneur multiple times over. You are making a splash in online education and you are 19. tell me a little bit about what you're working on. Let's start with what you're working on right now. Where are you at right now and what have you been doing since, since you graduated high school? What have the last couple of years looked like for you?
Yeah, so entrepreneurship has been something that I've always had an interest in, even in my early years in high school, just because of the way I was brought up in an entrepreneurial family, I guess you would say. So as soon as I got out of high school, I wasn't big into going to college, although I knew that it was what I was going to do, just pursue a degree just to get that, because neither of my parents had a degree. So it was just something that meant a lot to me. But I also knew that I wanted to expand what I was doing with entrepreneurship and try to get as much exposure and experience as possible. So the first thing that I did out of high school going into college was started a podcast about a year ago called Real Talk University, which was me and my friend. We still do it, and we just interview entrepreneurs and try to share their stories with college students and other people my age to inspire them to pursue their passions and pursue an entrepreneurial venture like I have done. And that's been a great experience, mainly because of the people that we've connected through there. And from the podcast, that really just led to the other ventures that I'm currently working on. As you mentioned, I'm big in the online education and online course space with a company that I started called Innovate University. A cool thing about that company is it was started with Dave Meltzer, that was a guest on my podcast. So a lot of good things do come from starting a podcast, which we talked about previously. And I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more. And yeah, those are just a few of the things that I'm currently working on. But yeah, I've definitely had, you know, my fair share of experience with different ventures and some good, some bad, but really just great experiences so far, for the 19 years that I've been alive.
Right, yeah, and the good and bad is just all part of the process, right? I'm curious. So, you mentioned that you came from an entrepreneurial family, but I know that you also had kind of a pretty tangible spark that was ignited in your high school years. Can you talk a little bit about that, like when that spark came up for you and how it came about?
Yeah, so like I said, with the family, that was definitely big because I just grew up watching my dad and my grandpa and really like every important figure in my family pursuing entrepreneurship in some way, which really just like motivated me and fostered me to like be more ambitious, I guess. It was really just the norm for me. But what really pushed me towards like actually doing something about it rather than just like having these ideas and thinking about what I was gonna do after I graduate, it kind of like the idea popped in my head, like, let's start now, which was in high school, in 11th grade or 10th grade, actually, where I took like a computer science class and, just a typical class until the point where there was a project that we had to do. And the project was to come up with a business plan and a business pitch deck to present. And that was like one of the more intriguing projects that I was ever confronted with in school, at least, because it revolved around, coming up with an idea for a business, putting together a plan and pitching it to, mock investors, I guess you'd say, which was right along the lines of what I grew up watching my dad and my grandpa and everyone else do. So that was a really great experience. And I think that really kickstarted me into trying out all these other ventures and motivating me to stay fresh with new ideas and try new things and take on risk. And yeah, that was my computer science teacher, Gina Howard. And she saw something in me. I still don't know what it was, but we talk about it all the time. And she just knew that I just needed that push forward in the right direction to go out and try new things. And that was like the originator, I think, of what I've kind of snowballed into now.
That's awesome. What was the project that you pitched?
So it was called Your Call Sports. And the idea behind that was to connect referees with, upcoming gigs for recreational leagues or any sports leagues that needed to fill their games with verified and trustworthy referees. So essentially, it was a platform, like an Uber styled platform, but for sports and referees. And we didn't really follow through with the idea fully. I mean, we did try to, but the costs were a lot. And that was one of the ventures that I learned a lot from, just going through that entire process. We set up an LLC. We did a prototype for the app on how we wanted it to look. We learned how to build a website for it. And obviously, being in 11th and 10th grade or early years of high school, we didn't have much money, which really forced, and I say us because it was like a group project, but I'm the one that pursued it afterwards in the sense of doing websites and prototypes and the LLC and whatnot. But it really just forced me, since I didn't have money, to bootstrap the idea. And I just learned a lot. I got a lot of great experiences that I still refer back to and have learned, that I apply every day now, such as, bootstrapping when you don't have to pay for something, which is simply if you want app designs for something you're working on, rather than immediately going to find someone to pay to do them for you, go to YouTube and see if you can learn them on your own, or go to all the different apps like Canva or Marvel or Sketch or all the other resources out there now to see and at least try yourself to get that work done. Because, as a young, and I talk about that a lot to my audience because it's younger students who are pretty tight on budgets for the most part. So bootstrapping and trying to self-educate and learn skills that you would otherwise have to pay a large amount for is really the key when actually trying to pursue a business at this age. And a lot of people don't know that. And I didn't know that until after the fact of this project. So I was grateful to learn that and apply it to what I do now.
Yeah, so you obviously, I mean, you took away a lot of very, very real world lessons that you're carrying with you now. It's informing a lot of what you're doing now. For Miss Howard, how did she approach that project with you all? What did the learning process look like for you, and how did she set you up to really kind of be able to drive your learning through that experience?
Yeah, and I think she did a great job with that. And I think the main thing there was giving, at least for me, from my own experiences, giving me something to look forward to before coming into classes. It created the framework to allow me to work on something that I was truly passionate about. And you could see it resonate with all the other students in the class too, because you had the freedom to come up with any idea that you wanted, which if it's a feasible idea, you were going to go and pursue it. And it would most likely be around your hobbies. Like for me, I was a big sports fan. So I had the chance to come in and work on a business plan for sports, which excited me more so than any other class. And the nice thing about working with Mrs. Howard and in that environment was she gave us the right resources to succeed. She gave us access to mentors. She would bring in someone new every week to come and hear about our ideas and give their feedback and give their advice. She would set up meetings with the principals and other teachers in the building to come and hear us pitch, which was always great because we get tremendous feedback. And it just created an environment where we were really given the ability to create and go outside the norms of what a traditional class would look like. And the last thing that she really did well was holding us accountable for hitting the goals that we set for ourselves in the beginning. I think that's one of the biggest things that benefited me is I always consider myself a procrastinator, and I think almost all people are in some way or another, especially at that age. And she just did a great job of holding us accountable and helping us to see the bigger picture and why it was important to hit all those requirements and deliverables throughout the length of the project.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you happen to know if that project was built into the curriculum or built into the standards, or if it was something that Mrs. Howard just understood was really, really important and brought in? What was the course that you were taking at the time?
Yeah, so it was definitely outside of the curriculum because it was a computer science class. But what happened was there was a local competition for high schools where you do this business competition. And she figured that, rather than doing this final project or this final exam on computer science, we're already taking an AP test. Why not, allow the students to have the opportunity to enter this business contest? They'd have the opportunity to work on a project of their choice. They have the opportunity to get experience with coming up with business plans, pitch PowerPoints, and then also the event at the end of the year where you could actually showcase all the work you've done to local business professionals and other students that have also worked through the last few months on a project like that. So there, my thing is that she saw like all the benefits that I just kind of listed out and really just knew it was a good idea to take advantage of offering those to her students.
How crucial was it to have access to people who were out in the business world, out in the community, active professionals through the process? Would it have changed things drastically? I imagine it would have if you had been doing everything sort of hypothetically, within the walls of the classroom and not connecting with those external partners.
Oh, it would have been completely different. And one of the things going into the event was this is another big thing that she did really well with is we weren't there necessarily to win because there were prizes and placements and things you could win. But she really emphasized how important it was to connect with other local professionals. And I didn't understand that concept at the point. I was only in 10th or 11th grade. And I didn't really understand like the benefit of getting someone's business card and meeting someone that does business locally. But that event really changed my life if you look back at it in a small way. We didn't win the event with our project, but we impressed someone new in the area who was starting an incubator that now I work at and I'm employed at and I've been working at for like the last 3 years. And we met them and they're impressed with how we presented ourselves and how prepared we were to network with them and how receptive we were to them approaching us and the whole process. I've just felt she really did a good job of preparing us for something like that. And again, it led to me having the job that I do now and I can't even go. I could go on and on and on about all the things that the incubator locally has done for me, and I don't think I would have had such great access to it if it wasn't for that event and connecting with them right then and there and making that first impression with the head of the incubator.
Yeah, I think that, as you're kind of describing this journey that you went on, the thing that is really kind of exciting or compelling to me is how closely aligned your life and your professional work is right now to that very initial process. The way that you're connecting with people, the way that you are kind of setting, the operational foundations of the different business ventures you're stepping into, the way you're thinking about problem solutions and everything kind of wrapped up in there. It's pretty compelling how short the track has been from that experience to you actually doing the work right now. I mean, you're 19 years old. Yes, you're in college. But yes, you're doing some very real and very high impact work. So here's my question, Andre. And I love that you had this experience with Mrs. Howard. How can educators make a practice of building in the capacity for self-education, the capacity for entrepreneurship, in the students they work with? Let's say they're teaching a subject that is not closely connected to the business world. What are some things that you think all teachers could do to kind of build this capacity into their students?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think there's a lot of different ways to do that. And obviously, with the class and the situation I was in, it was a little bit easier because in some way it did apply to business and entrepreneurship in general. But I think it all really stems from the ability or being allowed to be creative, if that makes sense. I think one of the biggest failures of school, in a sense, is like putting a curriculum around students that might not necessarily fit their interests or their passions, rather than them, rather than the school adjusting to the student, I think is what I'm trying to say here. I'm not an expert in curriculum and schooling and classes and environments and all that kind of stuff, but if there was a way to improve on that, I just think it all comes back to allowing students to be more creative and free. And although that might seem like a bad idea at first, like, okay, like if we're just gonna allow our students to do whatever they want and choose to be reckless and whatnot, I do think it'll still come back and allow students to be almost motivated to go and do what they're passionate about. And they're gonna do that to better ability than something that they're not passionate about. There's ways to make history fun. There's ways to make math fun. There's ways to make English fun because they all do apply to real things, even if it doesn't seem like it from the way that it's taught right now. But yeah, I would just encourage teachers in some way, challenge themselves to try to allow their students to be more creative than they already are. And it's cool that we're doing this podcast today because yesterday I was at an event with Ed Stack. He's the CEO and founder of Dick's Sporting Goods, billionaire. He actually came out of this area, Binghamton, New York, which is why he gave a speech yesterday. And during his speech, he had a really big focus on the impact that teachers have as mentors on their students. And in his hour-long keynote, he actually gave a shout out to one of his French teachers. French has nothing to do with business or entrepreneurship or anything like that. But he gave a shout out. He took like 5 minutes to just explain the impact that she had on him. And the story was simply that he was not gonna pass his French final because he was so just doing so poorly in the class. And she was aware of that, approached him about it, was real about it, and just gave him the opportunity to do something else to allow him to be more creative with a paper or research or whatever it was, whatever the specifics of that was. Which, to this day, he's like 64 years old. That was over 50 years ago. And for him to have brought that up in such a short keynote for the man, all the experiences he's had as a billionaire CEO, just goes to show, like, teachers, I feel like not all teachers are aware of how big of an impact they can have on their students with simple things like the example that Ed Stack mentioned yesterday, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that one of the kind of connecting pieces is, it's the same thing that you really explained about Mrs. Howard, is you felt seen. I mean, she saw you and was able to tap into something real in you, the same way that his French teacher was able to tap into something real in him. And I think you're hitting on something really important with the creativity and interest component, and the opportunity that educators have to open up doors and allow students to kind of experience, the activation of interest that they might not have even known that they had. I mean, for you had this kind of entrepreneurial seed that was planted a long, long time ago with your family, but it wasn't really set on fire until you had a teacher that said, "Hey, we're gonna do this right now. We're gonna put this into action right now. You're gonna connect to the real world with it right now." And I think the thing that is kind of blowing me away is how short the track is when that happens. You were doing this a few years ago for the very first time, in a computer science class, and now just a couple years later, you've got a pretty impressive resume, and you're doing work that is impacting a ton of people. And that just makes me really excited for just the opportunity that there is for educators to connect learning to the real world, and how it shortens the track. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And I think the reason that it shortens the track, at least in my scenario, is because, again, it comes back to passion. Like, what are your students passionate about? And once they could connect to that, there it's just like you run free. Like in my example, like as soon as I like went through that initial process of coming up with a business plan, working with a team, brainstorming, doing the financials, doing the marketing, doing the pitch event, connecting with local professionals, it just like it sparked a fire in me to like go out and do more of it. And as soon as you become more interested and interesting, meaning you go out and you explore other ways to almost reignite that same fire, because there's other ways to do it rather than just doing the same thing over and over again, which I think is important. That is what allows you and motivates you as a student to run away with it. And I think you're hitting on a point here, which is if you could, foster that in more of the students, you'll see progress a lot faster than what you see traditionally, just because of the motivation that these students would get from hitting on something they're passionate about. And they're just going to be more motivated and happy to work and put in the hours to something like that rather than what they just see as homework or another assignment or another essay.
Right. Yeah, and for you had this experience in the 10th grade. What would have looked like if you had uncovered this passion and had kind of an outlet for it when you were 13, when you were 9 even. What would your path have looked like then? And I think that very consistently we are kind of allowing for and stoking kids' passion for athletics, for music, for dance, for all of these great things. But what about these other passions? What about these other interests that they may have that can translate into real-world impact and real-world preparation really early on? And I know a lot of schools, a lot of districts, a lot of organizations are doing a very good job at creating those connections early. But I still think it's not the norm, and we've got a long way to go to kind of activate these interests in a real way early on.
Yep, and that just kind of brought a thought into my head as well. One of the other aspects of allowing students to be creative and work outside of the curriculum is the message that you're sending to the students is that failure is not final. So I think with traditional schooling, a lot of the problems and insecurities of students is that their grades are poor. And because they're a poor student, they're not going to get a good job. They're going to be a failure in life. They're going to disappoint their parents and so on. The cliche, poor student analysis, right? And by allowing students to be creative and giving them the environment to go out and fail and make mistakes and learn from them, has a profound impact rather than what it traditionally is right now. And I think that's another thing that has to be highlighted is encourage students to go out and make mistakes because that's how you learn and that's how you grow. And failure is not final. I think that should be hit really hard by teachers to relay that message to their students, because at a young age, I think if you have bad grades or aren't doing well in school, there's like an insecurity seed planted in you, which is really hard to unroot once you're older if no one has, taken the effort to help you with that. So I think that's also super important.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that that is one of the most powerful things about entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial practices. And I think you just hit on maybe even the primary reason why I believe entrepreneurship should be brought into the classroom in different ways as early as possible, because in the entrepreneurial world, in that practice, failure is, it's not only, sort of a part of the process. It's a necessity. There is no way to get to the best solution, best product, best service, best overall business model. There's no way to get there without embracing the role that failure plays in the process, which is really learning. Failure allows us to learn in a way that is very quick, cuts to the core, very real. And if we are able to teach students how to understand failure as a part of the process that actually teaches us and moves us ahead, it really changes everything. And and for things like grades and scores and things like that, I think it can even offset some of that insecurity for those pieces that may not be going away anytime soon if they have that muscle of like, failure just moves me forward. Failure is just another mechanism for learning.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I think that's a great point. It's just so important because you just see a lot of cases of students that in like at an early age just are insecure because of their perspective on failure. And if that could be changed, I mean, it makes me really excited about what the future could look like if some of the things that you've mentioned would be implemented in some way, shape, or form.
What was it like for you? Mrs. Howard's approach and saying like, listen, we're not going after the win here. We're really going after the experience. Was it that experience that kind of reset the framework of failing for you, or was it, because you're coming out of a very entrepreneurial family? What was your experience like with failure?
So I think with failure that it was definitely rooted in the beginning with family because you see it on a daily basis. In business, they say you have good days, you have bad days, and you have really bad days. And to be able to see that firsthand, it was, I mean, I think it rooted in me like what failure really was. But then to have it's completely different when you have firsthand experience because like at first, like fail again, it's just naturally rooted into you that failure is bad and is to be avoided. But with the environment that Mrs. Howard created for us, she really gave us, the safe environment, I guess you could say, to fail. And also, rather than having that be permanent as a grade or as a test, learn from it and apply it to the next step in the process. So it's actually cool because after we did that competition, she actually created her own class, which was called, it was like Capstone or something. And the class was so cool because it was literally you pick a project that you want to work on from the very start of that class to the end of that class. And what that did for us was it allowed us to say, okay, here's the project that we want to work on. It was in some way entrepreneurial, didn't have to be. And rather than saying, okay, we have to do it perfectly, like at certain dates and times, it's we had to hit benchmarks that led up to the final presentation at the end of the course, which for high school was a long time. Like we had months to get this project ready. And I think what that did, like involuntarily, rather than her saying failure is not final, it was saying we have all this time, like time is of abundance, and there's no, scores that we're going to be marked on based on everything that we do. So we have this idea, we have this concept that we have yet to test. Let's go out and test it and make sure it works by the time the final project comes, to the point. And was a really cool experience because I was working with a bunch, like three or four other kids that weren't really business minded, and we had this idea for a tidal tether, which was like this like machine that would take waves and use it to create energy. It was this really cool, like this concept. And obviously, a concept like that is not something that would go from just an idea to a finished product successfully right away. So we had all these different ways we wanted to build it. We tried with one material, it failed. We tried with a different material, it failed. We tried with a material that worked but was too expensive to make it a profitable business. We tried with all these different variations throughout the course. And by the time we got to the final destination, we had it all optimized and all these different things we learned that we want to have learned if we didn't test out the other ones. And it just created a great environment to test a bunch of different things without the pressure to say, if this fails, you're going to be negatively impacted by a grade or whatever it may be. So that was, I mean, that was an amazing experience. And I think not just for myself, but watching the other students go through it because they didn't have that same experience I had the year prior. So.
Yeah, it's a great description of how failure really plays a part in organic learning. And I mean, honestly, that experience that you had, like, okay, we tried this, it didn't work. Okay, it taught us this. Okay, we tried this, it didn't work. So now we know to go down this road. You know, all moving toward a very meaningful and a very authentic outcome. You know, there's a reason why you were testing those things. There's a reason why you were needing to learn the things you were learning. And I don't think that that kind of learning has to be restricted to special projects, or entrepreneurship classes or business classes. I think that elements of that kind of learning really should be infused into the learning journey overall. And I like how you describe that. It takes the negative power out of failure and kind of replaces it with positive inertia.
Definitely. Yeah, and like you said, those same concepts can definitely be taken and applied elsewhere. It doesn't have to be that same scenario. But with the bigger picture of saying failure is not final, I think is the main takeaway.
So let's kind of turn just a little bit maybe and talk about your book a little bit, What They Won't Teach You. Can you give like a quick overview of what the book is about and some of the main points that you hit on?
Yeah, definitely. So, the title is definitely like a big asset for me because when I, bring that title up to a lot of people, they're like super interested in hearing. One of the things that I talk about right away in the book is how school is great for what school does, but what's lacking is the encouragement to go out and work on self-education or ideas or things that you're passionate about, with the time that you have outside the classroom. So, like, the tagline of the book is exploring, or of the podcast was exploring success stories outside of the classroom. And I had a great time doing the podcast for how long we were doing it for. So I decided, like, if I write a book, like, I want to write it about that same thing because I know a lot about it. I've had a lot of experience through the interviews and just what I've been doing over these past few years. So I just talk about how students can take advantage of the opportunities that lie outside of the classroom. Just because I've seen it firsthand, what it can do is like for me personally to go out and work on a side hustle, you would call it, that I'm passionate about and make like six figures a month is like it just is crazy. And when you tell people about this and like these different stories of people that have done it, which there are plenty, it's not like a this like crazy one case scenario of someone doing it successfully. It's like people are doing this and a lot of people aren't aware of it, so I just wanted to connect the two. So the premise of the book is just allowing students or younger students or younger, doesn't even have to be students, young adults to read this book. One, to become aware of all the opportunities for them to pursue something greater than traditional education. And two, how to actually do that. So the process of, oh, how do I find my passion? What am I passionate about? And once I find my passion, what do I do about it? What are some of the different ways I can monetize it? How do I use platforms like social media? Okay, I'm interested in using Instagram. How do I use Instagram exactly to my advantage? How about LinkedIn? How about Facebook? And I really just go through all the things that I use, such as mindset, social media, passion, and all the different processes to help them kind of put something together, their own plan to what I conclude, like the last thing I say is this book will ultimately help you to push yourself to be the best version of yourself. Because I think that settling or not going out there and putting yourself in uncomfortable situations and testing yourself and again, the same thing with failure, pursuing failure and being encouraged by failure will, if you don't do those things, then I don't think you're going to truly become the best version of yourself. So I just try to push people in that direction with the book, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about Innovate University? Tell me a little bit about what it is and who it's for.
Yeah, so Innovate University is something I'm really excited about. And again, it's like with all things that I do, I feel like it has the same basis of okay, school's great. It's not for me to decide how it should be done, but what I can do is supplement it with easier ways to self-educate, right? And with Innovate University, I've always had this dream, I guess you could say, or this vision where there's so many skills right now that people get paid for that you'd be surprised people are getting paid for. And it's really easy to learn these skills and do the same thing that other people are doing. Like I've seen people make six figures on consulting, on like teaching how to ace like very specific tests. If you go and read Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crushing It, you're just going to be blown away because that's exactly like what I'm trying to say, but it's more important that you read that book than listen to what I'm saying because there's real stories that will just blow you away, like the most like niche down areas that you can make a really good income while doing something you're passionate about, which is more important. So Innovate University, the vision behind that was I could go to this online platform anywhere in the world on your phone, laptop, iPad, whatever, and go to learn a skill, a very specific skill that I'm interested in learning from the best person available to teach that, someone that has proven experience and having success in that skill or niche for a fraction of the cost of a college degree or traditional education per se. And to make that all happen, basically me and Dave Meltzer, someone we interviewed on the podcast, and another local podcaster who's my uncle, Roger Brooks, came together and drafted up a plan on let's, make this a reality by having Dave Meltzer, who's one of the top sports agents in the world, start off Innovate University by teaching a course on how to land your dream job in sports. And that got us into the experience of course building, creating curriculum, creating all the features of the course, and just so much else. And it's been a great experience. We've only been working on it for like 3 or 4 months now, but that's the end all be all vision that I mentioned. And now it's just going through that same process, like with anything else, is testing new things, figuring out what works best, failing a few times, and really just enjoying the journey to see where it takes us.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds awesome, and it sounds distinct enough from platforms like Udemy, and Udacity and Coursera, in the kinds of skills that you're teaching and how exactly you're doing that. So that's pretty exciting. I'm wondering, kind of going back to your experience in the 10th and 11th grades and going through the projects you were working on, do you see any possibility for Innovate University to become something that teachers might be able to plug students into, as they're working through similar projects or as they're looking to kind of tap further into their interests?
I definitely think that would be a possibility. And going back to what I said about the environment Ms. Howard created for us, one of the biggest components of that was accountability. Because again, as students and as young professionals, I guess you'd say, procrastination is always, something that you're going to have to deal with. I mean, especially with school, because you're not passionate about getting that work done, even though you have to. So that's when procrastination kicks in. And it's like with anything else, like the other websites you mentioned, they have very low course completion percentage, which is a problem. Like if people are buying courses and only 5% of them are finishing it, then that's a lot of potential and content that's going to waste. So the way we crafted the content and the structure of our courses on Innovate University is to be held accountable, not by just some random person, but by the teacher of the course itself. and to also have a start and end date for when the course is going to transpire, if that makes sense. And I think that fits the framework more so than anything else for a high school or college setting in the future, for sure. And that would be definitely a goal of ours, I guess you could say, would be to some way benefit high school curriculum with what we're doing with Innovate.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Andre, I always like to kind of wrap up our conversations by asking, who are you giving an A to right now?
It would definitely have to be Gary Vaynerchuk. He's been my number one source of inspiration for everything that I've done since, like, it's actually a cool story behind that too, I guess, because like I was playing soccer for the first time ever in high school, my senior year. And this was in the midst of me finishing up that one project we did with Mrs. Howard and going into the next one, the capstone one that I mentioned as well. And my soccer coach was like, he knew I was working on all these apps because it's all I would ever talk about. It became an obsession of mine, all these apps and business projects. And he said to me, he goes, "Man, you remind me of Gary V." And I was like, "Who? Like, who's that?" And he's like, "Look him up on YouTube. You sound like him, you look like him, and you're a businessman like him. You'd love him." And that night after tryouts, I went home and I started watching his videos. And it's a weird story, but like the past 2 years, I've just been watching his videos, and I really relate to his message in a lot of ways. So definitely would give him an A because he didn't get too many of those while he was in school. So
That's awesome. Oh, I love that. Okay, that's great, Andre. And then in further, how can people get connected to you and get connected to the work that you're doing?
definitely. So one of the best platforms I'm on right now is LinkedIn. I'm really active on LinkedIn. It's just Andre Haeckel Jr., my name. Also on Instagram, again, it's pretty simple, Andre Haeckel Jr. If you just look up my name on Google, my book will come up, my podcasts, all my social media profiles. It's a pretty distinct name. And I really want to encourage anyone listening right now to reach out and connect with me. I love, that's another one of my passions, is to connect with like-minded people, like Rebecca here, and just have conversations like this, because I think it could definitely have the potential to spark innovation or something that would benefit at least, one or two people in the future. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out. I'd love to connect.
Awesome. Andre, thanks so much for the conversation. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. You got a lot of important stories and concepts and things out of me that I would have never thought of sharing. So really appreciate that and what you're doing.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Off the Assembly Line. This podcast exists to share the many stories of changemakers making a difference in the education system. My belief is that if we can raise the level of visibility of these innovators to eye level, it'll get a whole lot easier to collectively work to change the system that impacts millions. If you know someone whose story needs to be told, send me a message or tweet at @OffAssemblyLine on Twitter. It's going to take us all working in rhythm to bring the ed system out of the factory and get our students off the assembly line. Thanks for what you're doing already to make a difference. Now let's do more together. Get out and make a ruckus this week.